Pastor James Mendel.
Let's give another hand of praise for Ken there. Did an awesome job. You know, a lot of times we think our vision's just way too big, but we're already in the midst of it, if you think about it. We're in a small realm of it, but we're geared towards it. And that is our heart's desire. We just truly believe. We don't know when it's going to happen. We just know that one day we're going to hit viral. There are many, many people that are listening around the world. And it only takes a couple of big investors out there that, you know, can finance but just don't have the means to be the fool, to bring the word, to bring the message. And so we're just truly believing that God is going to work out some wonderful things. And our vision is to have one facility to be able to take care of a lot of needs for individuals and also be able to create it as a resort-type situation where they can come from all over the world to have a time of R&R, but yet also have ministry and have several different rooms so that we would have different messages or different services throughout the week and throughout the day, where people can come and hear a message and be able to have ministry, and then they can go off and do whatever they want to do, and then they can come back and just constantly having revival and a constant word that is edifying. And I know God hasn't done what he has done in our lives here, first in my own life, as he changed me. And dramatically changed me. I'm not talking about just an enlightenment on an altar day. I'm talking a dramatic knockdown, punch, knockout, you know, boom. And then when I came to, I realized I was someone different. And then brought four great guys in my life, or three great guys, four great guys. There's more coming. I should say five, six, seven, eight now, what have you, but great men of God, and this is where the church, to be honest with you, is desperately needing some great men of God that are willing to stand and sacrifice for the truth, to lay down their lives and to lay it down not for personal gain, but to lay it down for the glory of God. Amen? And I think that's where we're at. And I know I made a commitment in my heart about, oh, it's almost a year and a half now, going on 2 years, and that's amazing how time flies, isn't it? It's just amazing, and he's always provided, you know, our need, and I've never was ever concerned. I know when God changed my life in the beginning, I said to him, I said, you know, one thing is I never was a beggar. I never asked anybody for anything. I don't, you know, wasn't the type of person that, you know, if anybody knew my life growing up, I always provided and worked on my own and never really sought for any type of help in any way, shape, or form. And starting from nothing to something, and then walked away from it when God called me. And I continue to feel the same way in my heart, that when God calls you, he'll provide your needs according to his wills and his plans and his purposes. And that's what I'm really excited. And I always tell my wife, don't worry about me. I'm going to be perfectly fine. Worry about yourself. And so I want to share that out there to those that are listening and those that are around here today and around the world, that God has you already set in a timeline. I was in worship this morning, and it was a wonderful worship. And if you can get out here during worship, I encourage you to get out here during worship. It kind of helps you change your mindset and get into that place of soaking so you can hear the message for today. But as I was being ministered to by the Lord, you know, I'm praying for this revival to come because I really feel strong that there's a revival coming. How many people feel in their heart that there's a shakening and a revival that it's about to break loose? You know, and I feel the same way. And with that being said, the Lord was like, you know, I hear your heart's cry, and this is for everyone. I'm sure everybody has a prayer. But God was saying, you have to understand, everything's on a timeline, and I created everything already. From the beginning to the end, the Alpha and the Omega, it's already done. It's not like tomorrow I'm setting up a new schedule. It's already set. So I want you to know that in your heart, whatever God has laid there, it's already set. Just keep believing and don't lose that hope, because it's set in a time schedule, a timeline, and there's everything set in heaven. If it's in you, it's meant to be. How many people get that one? Okay. Because it's God in you. God set that plan in you. So whatever your hopes and dreams are, whatever your desires are, God has already set that. Now, there is a requirement. Our actions. He says, be holy for I am holy. And this is where I'm getting into my message. I want us to understand that we can't be lacked or slacked. We need to work out. We need to work out. We can't just be like, oh, well, God has everything under control. Everything will be okay. There's consequences. How many people realize that there are consequences to your life? And God has already set laws in heaven. And some of us already know these laws, right? You have to humble in order to be exalted. You have to give in order to receive, you know. How many more are there? There's tons of laws, you know. It's just like the laws on earth, you know, the gravity. You drop something, it's going to hit the ground. Unless you defy the law of gravity in the spiritual realm, and then it'll levitate. But outside of that, there are laws in heaven. And I want us to clearly understand the truth so that the truth can set us free. God says, my children suffer and are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And I feel one of the calls in my life, and I'm accepting it, as an apostle, apostolic minister. And God has given me the mysteries, and I call them the ancient secrets, to declare to us so that we will have knowledge. And this knowledge we can apply into our own lives so that we can fill the desires of our heart, so that we can break through the desires and our hopes. The last thing I want to see is that we have hopes and desires and they're not being answered or fulfilled. And it's not that God doesn't want to answer or fulfill your desires. There's a law that he has to abide by. He established and written in the heavens where he will bless you or he will curse you. How many people are following me here? I don't want to get you scared or nervous. I just want to waken you. I just want us to not walk around floundering around and feeling depressed or having sorrow in our heart because we feel that God is not really moving or working in our lives. How many people have ever felt that way? How many people have felt as though that they're praying and praying and praying and it seems like there's no breakthroughs in their lives? How many people are carrying around a heaviness or a depression or a sadness in their heart? And let's be real. I mean, I know that the world that we live in is tough. But if we don't live in the world, we live in the, as a statement that was said earlier, I may live in the world, but I don't live of the world. Isn't that what Jesus said? If we can come out of that place, these heaviness and these burdens will lift. But the only way that we can come out of that place is knowing the truth. One of the things that we have to begin to understand is that we need to be transformed in the renewing of our minds. If we don't renew our minds and we don't transform the way we think, we're never going to come out of the situation that we're in. And God wants us to come into a new place. This is the only way that I can say. Now, there is victory in all of our lives, but there is also accountability And we need to have an accountability in how we're living. Now, the only person that can judge is yourself. No one can judge you. And the only person that can judge is yourself. And when I say by yourself, I truly mean God is the one who judges you. But at the same time, he does it through conviction. You need to follow the convictions of your heart so that you can walk that right path. If you deny the convictions of your heart, then this, I spoke a message on sin, and go back and listen to it. Hopefully I've cleared everything as far as what sin is. But if you knowingly, willfully deny the convictions of your heart, and you won't turn from the knocking on your door saying, hey, stop, or hey, go. If you're not, and you're willfully continuing to go forward and doing what you're doing, you're in sin. And if you're in sin, then guess what? You're going to be held back to those desires of your heart. You're going to be held back. You might as well forget about praying and throw the towel in because you're wasting your efforts. I want to be straight and forward, because if you're going to give your heart to God, then give it to him fully. Don't give him to it half mass. You know, let's give it to him fully. I'm going to open up this message in Mark. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. It says, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he has answered them well, asked him, which is first commandment of them all? Jesus answered him and says, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. I want to stop there for a minute, because I'm speaking a message on love. And I described that there are two loves. One that is an earthly love, and one is a heavenly, universal love, a spiritual love. The earthly love is carnal and fleshly and self-centered, self-seeking. It's conditional. How many people understand that love? There's a lot of lust in it and out of beer, out of here kind of thing. You know, it's like just total motives around that love. And then there's another type of love that is not self-seeking, which is a surrender. It's unconditional. It's a love that is not based on self-interest, but more of the interest of others. Now, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Now, that definition of his son is that divine nature that's living in each and every one of us, his spirit. And that spirit moves and awakens our heart to allow us to live holy. And he says, be holy, for I am holy. And that works on the conviction. God speaks to us. You know as well as I do. We get moved by convictions. How many of us get moved by convictions? Sometimes we get hit so hard with a conviction that we just got to stop what we're doing, jump up, and just do it. You know, it's like, I can't sit here any longer. I just got to make that phone call. I just got to do it. I just have to act upon it. Well, I want to say, well done, faithful servant, because this is what God's desire is. He wants us to live holy. And when we can live in that realm, we're actually living holy. And we can be confident to know that we're one without sin. And I want to be able to, I know in my life I have been setting goals. And I hope today you're encouraged by setting your own goals, by striving to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. Not to reach this place of contentment, but reach this place of love. reach this place of love that is going to transform you. And I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't continue to live your life out without exercising and fighting for what is true. You need to make a commitment and begin to live out your goals, just like on a daily life. You know, when you're young, you have dreams and goals, but they might not be ready for you to fight for them. But as you get older, you realize, I better, you know, start putting these goals in action and become more of a man. How many understand what I'm talking about? More of a woman. And then you begin to start thinking like a man, and you start thinking like a woman, and you just renewed your mind, didn't we? You see, so life in itself has already taught us how to grow and how to renew our minds. But then we reach a point where we are a man and we are a woman, and then things start to begin to change. And how many have reached midlife crisis yet? Has anyone reached those periods in their life where they've done that and they, you know, bought the t-shirt and now they're looking for something different in life? They kind of reached their goals and maintained the level where they were looking for, and now they're saying, you know what, I obtained everything and now I'm like kind of stagnant and I'm setting more goals, I'm setting new goals. Well, I hope today you're making that decision in your heart that you're not alone, for one. There are many people out there that are starting to realize that there are more things in life than just obtaining, you know, finances or, you know, toys or, you know, homes or whatever it might be. They start leaning towards, as they get older, they start leaning towards happiness, peace, and joy. Those things become a priority in their life. It's almost like, you know what, now I'm going to be a seeker, even though I sought for a career, I sought for advancement in my life, I wanted to give, but you know what, now I'm seeking something in the sense of joy and peace and that righteousness. Well, that's God leading us towards
salvation.
Yeah, salvation and the kingdom of God. He's leading us towards heaven. You know, I admire old people that have experienced a lot in life to the point where there's meaning now, not more like striving. They're looking for something and they're searching for something, and they're at a point now that things, the cares of the world, don't really matter anymore. Has anyone ever spent some time with some elderly people and just kind of listened to them? And I had a dear friend who was in his 80s, and I connected so much with that person, and the world didn't understand it because, you know, at first I was judged like, oh, he's trying to take his inheritance, he's trying to take his money, he's trying to take, you know, he's working something, you know, he's doing, you know. I was judged, and they couldn't understand the relationship, but he stimulated me, and I stimulated him because we talked about the mysteries, you know, we talked about the deep things. He's been through many, many depressions, and, you know, he's been through so much, and it just comforted my soul that these things shall pass. You know, it's a sense of knowledge that we want to obtain that is not of the world. And when we reach those ages closer to leaving this earth, you know, our minds are renewed and we begin to meditate and think about things differently. And we search for answers. We try to look for answers, you know. And I believe the only reason why he accepted my friendship is because I had his answers. You know, he knew deep down inside the truth, but he didn't have a witness. And that's all I was his witness. And I'm grateful for the time that I had with him, because I know that through me, I brought him into salvation. I brought him into that place of heaven. And so I want to encourage all of those that are here and those that are listening that my one desire is that you reach that place for eternity. And one of the things is that for eternity is to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, our Creator. And that is really the only goal that we should set for ourselves throughout life. Everything else, as Ken, if you heard his offering message, is everything's an illusion. It's not real. And it's true. It's all going to fade away one day. You know, thousands of years, this barn will probably be, who knows, something of history. But nothing lasts. Nothing lasts forever. But there is an eternal realm that does last. And to have a relationship with our Creator, our Heavenly Father, the supreme being in the universe. And remember, I'm speaking to everybody around the world. They're trying so desperately to find the truth. They're trying so desperately to find God. And that's really the only word that I can identify him as God. But we have new words like the universal spirit, and we have, you know, our Creator in the galaxy, you know. And I can understand, because when they were growing up, they've been hurt or deceived or let down, and they've been hearing that word, and they just haven't been able to find that place. They haven't been able to find that relationship. And so they're seeking for a relationship that they've been longing to seek for eternity, ever since they were created in this earth, because we are adopted and we're longing to know who our Heavenly Father is. You know, even in Scripture it says, don't even call your earthly father, father. Yep, it's amazing how the Spirit wants us to be drawn back to him. But moving on, God is love. And we really need to begin to understand what love is. And I've made a commitment in my heart, knowing that as we get older and we're getting closer to that place of being one with him, I feel in my heart to really just begin now, because I know the truth. And the worst thing is to know him and be lukewarm. So I don't want to know him and be lukewarm. I want to know him and live the level of knowing him. I don't want to slack in any knowledge that I have. I want to give 100%. How many people understand what I'm saying, or at least trying to say here? I mean, if you have a level of knowledge and you're not reaching that level of knowledge, and you're falling short of his glory, you know, I don't want to live that level. I made a commitment in my heart. I am a bride to the bridegroom, you see. I want to give my heart solely to him. You know, love is a level. You know, on the earth, we give our love to our husband or our wife. Amen? You know, they're the love of our life. And, you know, some of us have given our love to our children to the point where they supersede maybe their wife or their husband. And that, you know, that's fine too. It's just where they're placing their love. I want us today to say, where is your love? I hope that we can start saying, you know what? I love my wife. I love my husband. I love my children too. But I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. Let's put him first in this place in our lives. And if you love him, then you will strive to seek him. And if you strive to seek him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, I'm going to tell you right now, the cares of this world fade away. Even though that they're there and you need them, you know you already have this knowing in your heart that it's done. You already know in your heart that those desires and those needs are already done. Because of your love for God, He loves us back and fulfills what He has already planted in you. And we actually are coming out of sin. If the first commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, wouldn't you think that that would wipe out the things that are stealing and robbing and destroying your life? So if you renew our minds and we change the way we're thinking and we begin to count everything with joy and begin to put ourselves in a place of understanding that God has already set things in motion and He already has put everything in a timeline so that we don't have to worry or we don't have to fear, and we know that everything's going to be okay. And we put ourselves in that place of loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, you know, with all our strength. Don't you think that He would come and say, well done, my faithful servant. I'm going to destroy the enemies that are trying to steal and destroy the things that are happening in your life. I'm going to fulfill the desire of your heart. I truly believe when we live earthly, when we live in the form of a love that is conditional, and believe me, if we searched our hearts, we will see that most of our love is conditional. What have you done for me lately? You know, well, you know what? You didn't talk to me nice, so I'm going to kind of like back off in taking care of this. It'll be done, but maybe tomorrow, you know, maybe the next day. We tend to put conditions, and God is looking for unconditional. Things are going to come around that are going to disappoint us. They're going to hurt us. That's the rule of the thumb. When God created the heavens and the earth, He put His seal on it and He says, these offenses must come. And they're going to happen. The best thing to do is to love unconditionally and not allow these things to offend us and continue to move on and separate ourselves from the world. And what I mean by separating ourselves from the world is to be union one with Him. When you see an individual or you see a situation come arise, or you have something that you desire and you need and you're looking for and you want answers or whatever it might be, I'm going to tell you, you put your heart one with God, He gives you the answers. He gives you the desires of your heart. He says, well done. He cannot bless you more when you make Him number one. I know in my own heart, I'm striving to renew my mind. What more do I have to live for? I've given Him everything now. I've thrown everything in front of the table and I laid all it down at His feet. You know, I know it's harder. They say it's harder for a rich man to, you know, come to the gates of heaven, right? Something like that. It's harder for a rich man. How many people know that scripture there? Well, that rich man, in a sense, is not necessarily financial. It's pride. You know, it's self. It's the care of what's going on in your life and how much you care about yourself and your life and just the things around you. And when you can come to that place and throw your riches away and just cast them down. Listen, there's nothing wrong about having money. That's great. There's nothing wrong about having things. There's nothing wrong about, believe me, I'm asking God for great big things, you know. I'm not asking you that you have to reach the bottom of nothing in order to get to this place. You have to just renew your mind. You just have to change the way you're thinking. A lot of us tend to have a hard time renewing our minds. We tend to have a hard time in changing the way we're thinking. It's discipline. And when we can discipline ourselves, I know it's hard to love something that you can't see. I hope and pray that if you begin to start loving Him, say, you know what, I want to apply this love. I want to love God with all my heart. I want to make these statements to show that I love him. I believe that when you begin to start making a step towards him, he's going to make a step towards you. And he's going to begin to show his attributes. He's going to begin to show his glory. He's going to begin to do signs and wonders in your life so that you can say, wow, only God was able to do this for me. Only God was able to bring this, you know, buck in my life. And I can see that that was a desire of my life. You know, only God can bring these fortunes that you've been longing for. How many of us have answered prayer? And hopefully just recently. Okay, amen. So if you had those prayers answered recently, don't make it as, you know, the roll of the dice and good luck. Thank God. Say, you know, praise God. Look at what he has done in my life. Now, I know a lot of times God does things in our lives, and it's like a microwave praise. Hey, praise God, you know. I got a brand new job and I'm making more money. And then next minute you know, we forget. And we got another thing on top of us that we're beginning to worry about. Another challenge that we begin to mourn over. You know, we need to just meditate on the things above. We need to come to a place of really dwelling on those blessings. I've shared with the guys at an early time in our lives when we were in that honeymoon stage, and I would mention to them, you know, if you really want to know praise, if you really want to know worship, you got a sound mind. You got five fingers on your hands. If you ever forget, just look at your hand and say, wow, I still got five fingers. You know, how hard it is to pick up a cup without your thumbs? I mean, thank God you still have your thumbs. You know, you'd be like, oh, you wouldn't be able to pick up anything. I mean, there's a lot of things that we just aren't looking at. There's a lot of things that we just aren't really focusing on. And this love that I'm leaning towards, this love that I'm striving for, this is a rhema word from heaven. Everything that God is doing in my life, growing towards him, I'm sharing with the world. And he's leading us to him. He's not just leading to me. He's leading you. If you're here today and you're listening around the world on the website, the Spirit is causing you to be led to him. And it's not by accident that he's drawing you, because he has a desire to know you the more, even though he knows us. But there's an intimate relationship that is developed. And he wants all of us to know this intimacy to where it fills us. There's an emptiness in us. And if we're honest with ourselves, and this is the biggest key, is to be honest, we will see that we're not quite fully filled. There's a longing or an emptiness, or, you know, a place of sorrow that's buried deep inside that we just can't shake. A lot of us put on this, you know, fake smile and sure, everything is great, everything's wonderful, and they try to lift their spirits up. And I'm going to give them, you know, credit that they're doing the best based on their understanding. But they're going to go crashing. The only way that you can lift your spirit up is not by you forcing a smile and trying to force a happiness. It is a total restoration and a renewing of your thoughts. If you don't renew and change your thoughts, your heart, you have to do it to the point where it soaks down to your heart, and then your heart is established and settled. If you're just living up here and you just put on that happy, smiling face because, you know, certain people walked in the room and, you know, you're like, hi, you know, you're shallow. in your relationship and your heart is troubled. It's not, your life is in your heart. It's not in your mind. And so you need to let your mind soak in the truth and meditate so that it renews your heart and changes your heart so that you can be changed. You're never going to be changed. You know, a lot of people, you know, and I know that there's a lot of people that have a sincere love for God, and you know, they want to know God, and they're trying so hard, and but they just haven't been instructed properly. They just haven't been brought to the truth properly. They're hearing, oh, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay, you know? But their pain is still there. They're like, how come I can't shake the pain? Well, if you're dwelling on something from the past and you keep dwelling on it, that's not going to help your pain. You got to let it go. And if you have certain individuals in your lives that have not have met your standards and you want them to, you know, stop doing what they're doing, and you're meditating on that discouragement, I'm going to tell you right now, you got to stop meditating on that discouragement. Because your heart is not established and life is in your heart. And if you want to see miracles in your life and those around you, you need to change your heart. And I'm hoping and praying that my message through love, you will begin to start realizing that the power is inside of you. And when you can renew the condition that is inside of you, you will change your atmosphere and those around you. You're not going to be able to change anything in your life, nothing, if you're not renewed. It's basically we're living in sin. It's a kind of situation where we know the truth, but we're so far from it. It's in that situation where, you know, we're lukewarm. There's no difference. It would be worse for us to know knowledge and then not apply any of the knowledge to be transformed. So we're held responsible. That's why God said, and as if anybody heard this scripture, I hope they have, it's better not to know me than to know me and be lukewarm. What's that say to you? I'll tell you what, that says a lot. And when I first heard that verse, I was like, well, why am I going around the world bringing revivals? Why am I sharing the gospel about who you are? Maybe it's better not to know you than to know you and be lukewarm, because it's almost impossible. I want to say it's almost impossible to know the truth and then not live the truth. How many people know it's tough and difficult? You know, just especially trying to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. I had to do natural things to bring a reminder of how much I want to love God. One of the things was, you know, it's personal, but I'm sure people are going to ask. People are going to see. It's obvious. And I've already spoke to my wife and said, you know that I love you. And my love is never going to change for you. And she used to make comments saying, your love for me is just like you have for everybody else. You know, and I'm like, well, that's not true. I love you. There's a special place for you. But, you know, I've done some things in my life where I have actually taken my wedding ring and switched over to the other hand to just show that the Lord, I'm you. I'm with you. And this happened a long time ago. When my life was just changed, this ring went to, I purchased it in Israel, and it was made for him. It has three diamonds, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it was already made and structured for that place. And I'm sure others won't understand, and I might be hated for it or what have you, but it's a personal thing for me. And I hope that you do something for yourself as a reminder of where you want to bring your life, where you want to bring your place of intimacy with him. Look, I would hate to see you live your life longing to know him, speak the goodness of God, share the gospel with people, and then hear this saying, "But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name." And he says, "Get away from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity." To me, that's cold. How many people know that scripture? We need to read our Bibles so we can begin to understand, you know, some of these messages and some of these words that are in them. You know, I know that there are ministries and churches out there that may not encourage you to read the Bible, and they'll say, "Well, you can't read it because you won't be able to understand it, so I'll read it and interpret it." And then they only read and tell you what you want to hear. How many people understand them? You know, and I could be here, and I want you to know that a minister or a preacher or a pastor has a responsibility for their flock. And you have to share the good along with the things that you don't want to hear. And a lot of times people don't want to hear a lot of these messages where, you know, "But Lord, Lord, I did all these things. I, you know, healed the sick. I prophesied in your name. I, you know, did all these things in your name." And then him to reply back, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." I mean, where's God coming in saying that? Well, we lived in actions in the sense of showing our righteousness, our holiness, you know, passing out pamphlets or ministering the gospel and even laying hands on the sick, prophesying. But we never really hearkened our heart fully to those convictions. He judges us, and yet we walk away from the convictions and we still continue to live our lives the way we want to live them. You know, I guess what I have to end. I could stay all day talking about this, but that's what gives us our next week's message, I hope. But I want to end in this area here. That if we're going to make an effort to know God, let's know him 100%. Let's try to connect our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength in loving God. And if we're going to love him, cast all your cares upon him. Don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to throw some keys out so that you can show yourself that you're expressing your love towards God. You're trusting him. You're giving it to him. If there are situations or individuals or things in your life that are troubling some, give it to him. And if you truly love God and you gave it to him, then your heart would never be troubled. Test yourself. Don't put it on the world's love. Don't get caught up in the world's love and say, "Well, if I don't care for him anymore or her, or if I don't care about this or that anymore, then I'm not really showing love." Don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself. You're fooling yourself. You do love. It's evident that you have love. I say you need to channel it. You need to channel that love, because love is power. And if we don't channel our love in him, then we're never going to allow him to change our circumstances, and then we're accounted for everything. I don't want to stand before him on the day of judgment and then he shows this movie screen, because I'm sure we all had this vision that we're going to see this movie screen in front of us about all the things we've done and all the things that we haven't done, right? And all the bad and all the good. And, you know, I'm sure everybody has that same type of expression of our judgment time. And if we didn't, you know, well, I gotta have to pinch you to see if you're real. But, you know, if we envision that type, I hope that he washes away all the things that I've done bad. You know, all the good that I've done, and I believe it's not really the works. It's the good in how I loved him. The level of love that I put towards him. Did I truly become the bride? I know this is tough for men, because men have to like put on the woman image of love. But did we put ourselves in that place of being a bride and allowing him to be the bridegroom and sweep us off our feet? You know, he's coming on a white horse. He's coming for us. Let us start renewing our minds. If our hearts are troubled, then we're falling out of love. This is a big key. If you truly say you love God, then don't worry about tomorrow. If you truly love God, don't let your heart be troubled. We need to take responsibility, and we have to control ourselves. We need to begin to start realizing what is causing our joy to be stolen. And if we're worried about somebody or we're concerned about something, then we need to put those things in God's hands. This is love. This is true love. Our love has no power. So, yes, you do love. Yes, you do care. But reach for a greater power. Why not? If you really want to change and you really do love, channel that love into a greater power that can make a difference. I know he's already started in my own life. And I'm very grateful for this love. I'm very grateful for the revelation. I'm very grateful. When my life was changed, it was like he dumped everything on me, but I didn't really have all the understanding or really knew how to put words into it. Now I can say, I got the words. I have the understanding. After 15, 16, 17 years or whatever it's at now. And I can understand that Paul, when he was touched by God on the road to Damascus, he hid for that many years also before he brought himself out to the apostles. And so, I don't question God anymore. And I hope that you don't ever question him either. Because I know when things aren't going right, the first thing we go to the Lord is say, why, God? Why? And if we haven't done that, I want to pinch you again to see if you're real. And with that being said, if we can just bow every head for a moment. Lord, I thank you for what you have done and where you're going with drawing us closer and closer to your intimacy. Lord, I thank you that we can only get through things and through life with you. And you are love. And if we don't live our life in this love, then we're not with you. Lord, I just want to be with you. I know our hearts here tonight, today, and those that are listening, they feel the same way because we're one. You've drawn us together as one. So, Lord, I ask that you drop on us a deeper revelation of this love so that we can not be so carnally minded, but be more spiritually minded. And not be caught up in the things of the world, but always have you on the tip of our tongue. Always have you on the top of our heart. And we do all things through you. As your son Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. And I only say what the Father tells me to say. He knew you. Let us know you like he did. Let us walk in those shoes that he walked in. Let us lay our lives down for others. For the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. So Lord, I ask that you continue to bless us as we go forward. Amen and amen. Let us give the Lord a hand of praise. And if I could say something, challenge yourself today. As we move forward, challenge yourself. Challenge yourself in the sense of, is your heart troubled? You know, it might not be right now, but I'm going to tell you, your heart will become troubled. And when it does, what are you going to do? Are you going to react into the world, or are you going to react into the heavens? I want to run into the heavens. I want to run for refuge in the heavens. I don't want to run into the world. Because if I run into the world doesn't have anything for me to offer me. But if I run into the heavens, he takes away my troubles. He calms my heart. He gives me peace. And that's where true life is. Amen? Amen. Let's give him another hand of praise. Continue to share the gospel. Greet someone. I'm not going to minister today only because of time and just being led by the Spirit. But greet someone with a hug and let them know how much you love them. Continue to log on. Continue to stay in touch. And thank you for all your prayers when we were away last week. Sorry that if I haven't been in touch with you, I kind of shut my phone off. And so it wasn't as if I was ignoring anyone. It was just that, you know, we were away. And it was a